to the Dean as they strolled away.
"It's the pressures and stresses of living in a big city," said the senior wrangler. "I read that somewhere. It takes people in a funny way."
They stepped through the wicket gate in one of the big doors, and the Dean shut it in Mrs. Cake's face. "He might not come," said the senior wrangler as they crossed the quadrangle. "He didn't come for poor old Windle's farewell party." "He'll come for the right," said Ridcully. "It doesn't just send him an invitation, it puts bloody RSVP on it."
"Oh, good. I like sherry," said the bursar.
"Shut up, bursar."
There was an alley somewhere in the shades, which was the most alley-ridden part of an alley-ridden city. Something small and shiny rolled into it and vanished in the darkness. After a while, there were faint metallic noises. The atmosphere in the Arch-Chancellor's study was very cold. Eventually the bursar quavered,
"Maybe he's busy?"
"Shut up,"
said the wizards in unison. Something was happening. The floor inside the chalked magic octagram was going white with frost.
"He's never done that before,"
said the senior wrangler.
"This is all wrong, you know," said the Dean. "We should have some candles and some cauldrons and some stuff bubbling in crucibles and some glitter dust and some coloured smoke."
"The right doesn't need any of that stuff," said Ridcully sharply.
"It might not need them, but I do," muttered the Dean. "Doing it without the right paraphernalia is like taking all your clothes off to have a bath."
"That's what I do," said Ridcully.
"Well, each to his own, of course, but some of us like to think that we're maintaining standards."
"Perhaps he's on holiday," said the bursar.
"Oh, yes," sneered the Dean. "On a beach somewhere, a few ice drinks and a kiss-me-quick hat." "Hold on, hold on, someone's coming," hissed the senior wrangler.
The faint outlines of a hooded figure appeared above the octagram. It wavered constantly as if it was being seen through superheated air.
"That's him," said the Dean.
"No, it isn't," said the lecturer in recent rooms. "It's just a grey robe. There's nothing in it."
He stopped. It turned slowly. It was filled out, suggesting a wearer, but at the same time had a feeling of hollowness, as if it was merely a shape for something with no shape of its own. The hood was empty. The emptiness watched the wizards for a few seconds and then focused on the Arch-Chancellor. It said, "Who are you?" Ridcully swallowed.
"Mustrum Ridcully, Arch-Chancellor."
The hood nodded. The Dean stuck a finger in his ear and waggled it around. The robe wasn't talking. Nothing was being heard. It was just that afterwards you had a sudden memory of what had just failed to be said, and no knowledge of how it had got there. The hood said, "You are a superior being on this world?" Ridcully looked at the other wizards. The Dean glared.
"Well, you know, yes. First among equals and all that sort of thing."
"Yes," Ridcully managed. He was told, "We bring good news."
"Good news? Good news?"
Ridcully squirmed under the gazeless gaze.
"Oh, good. That is good news."
He was told, "Death has retired."
Pardon?
He was told, "Death has retired."
"Oh, that is news," said Ridcully uncertainly.
"How? Exactly, how?" He was told, "We apologise for the recent lapse in standards."
"Lapse?"
said the Arch-Chancellor, now totally mystified.
"Well, I'm not sure there's been a... I mean, of course, the fellow was always knocking around, but most of the time we hardly..."
He was told, "It has all been most irregular."
"It has it?
Oh, well, can't have irregularity," said the Arch-Chancellor. He was told, "It must have been terrible."
"Well, I'm not sure.
Must it?" He was told, "But now the burden is removed, rejoice, that is all. There will be a short transitional period before a suitable candidate presents itself, and then normal service will be resumed. In the meantime, we apologise for any unavoidable inconvenience caused by superfluous life effects." The figure wavered and began to fade.